Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory Communication Number 61. The Real Man, Unique Being. Man is a unique being. Not because he believes he is. Not because he feels he is, because of the faculties he has developed during the involution. But because he must be realized in his light. Man is unique. Although he does not yet realize it. That is, he is not yet conscious of the ether of the earth, nor of the ether of his own material body. Real man is such a unique being that he has no genetic link with the material being we see on the earth today. The real man is so unique that today's man of the earth does not know him. Man is a product of the future evolution of light in a world parallel to the earthly space we know, and which we call the ether of the earth. If the man of the earth, today, met the real man, he would be pushed, because he would discover a being who is not of his time, who talks about things that do not suit the human being and his race. The real man is so unique that its composition is totally different from the being we know on Earth today. For the universal energy flows within him and unifies all his life plans. So it can only be related to each other to the extent of the illusion it can create by the manifestation, the energetic manipulation of its form. The unicity of the real man, the Superman, the man who is only related to the human form, derives from the perfect relationship between the energy and intelligence that are channeled into him, on the subtle planes of the atom that constitutes the living material of man. The atom, or atomic consciousness, being the living material of man, is the unique material that is found on all layers of his reality. The real man becomes aware of it and possesses it. He becomes master of it, because the energy of life obeys him. Now that he has entered the secret of life, and knows the laws of intelligence that govern its evolution, the real man is unique in its own right, for he is a human race, but a human race which is no longer under the control of intelligences inferior to his own, since his intelligence is no longer astral and cannot be dominated by the illusion of form. As a unique being, the real man is a direct descendant of the luminous beings who govern the galaxy, behind and above the planes that generate, in the galaxy, the different forms that serve to shape races inferior to the real intelligence. For the human being to be unique, he does not claim to be a slave to any intelligence. His intelligence must originate beyond the atomic planes of his organized consciousness, in such a way that the product of his intelligence can be in conformity with the laws of real life. That is, in conformity with the presence of those luminous beings who are part of him, on the atomic planes of his consciousness. Indeed, luminous beings are part of the planes of man's atomic consciousness and have the power to inhabit man on all planes of his organized consciousness. What blocks these beings? What blocks their presence in man? is its unusual link with inferior intelligences that evolve. Not on the level of man's atomic consciousness, but within a telepathic network created in human consciousness, and which gives them access to man's spirit. The luminous beings who are part of man's atomic consciousness give him life. Their presence on the planes of man gives these planes their energy, so that these planes, as organized, can support their presence and therefore life. But the life they give to man is contaminated by other inferior intelligences, so that the life that man seems to live is not the real life. That is, the life of the spirit, but the life of the form. And the life of the form, because of its inferiority, cannot allow man to execute real life on Earth, or manifest it on Earth. And as long as man lives the life of the form, real life waits behind and above the planes to manifest itself. But when it has succeeded in penetrating the spirit of man, as it exists on the planes of man's atomic consciousness, man's spirit is altered, and man is real. That is, he has the power of life in him, and he in turn becomes creative. The unicity of the real man is so extraordinary that there is no model of real man in the cosmos, although there are an infinity of unconscious man models in the universe. And since there is no model of a real man, because each real man is new, that is, he is gradually composed by the descent of energy on the planes of his atomic consciousness until his spirit is imbued with it, such a man has no beginning and has no end, because the beginning and the end exist only for the model man, the man created according to the laws of impression on his brain. The unicity of the real man reveals the wonder of life and the impossibility for the false life to have any power over him, because this man can no longer be less than he is. It can only be more. And this is only conditioned by the time it takes for the energy to spread into its atomic consciousness and penetrate its mind perfectly, so that the spirit of man becomes the power of light on Earth. The unicity of the real man has never been realized on Earth in a racial way, because only a few individuals in the past have known and experienced their real identity. But in the course of the coming evolution, a great number of men will know their identity and a new human race will manifest itself through the power of the energy in them, under the control of their perfected will, and their perfectly developed intelligence, and their love instantly realized in the perfection of their consciousness. The unicity of the real man contradicts all the laws of involution to such an extent that he is obliged, at a certain point of his manifestation on the plane of the earth, to withdraw with those who are part of the same forces of life as him, in order to be able, under conditions which emanate from his vision of things, to create a civilization equal to his intelligence, equal to his will, and within the framework of his love for life and what it represents most perfectly. The unicity of the real man depends only on his perfected relationship with the energy that generates life, but which has no power on Earth other than on the atomic level of man's consciousness. Any other development that is informed by involution must be retained at the source. That is, in the spirit of the real man who defends life against the death of life, and the abolition of immortality. The unicity of the real man combines all the possibilities that defy the laws of death, to such an extent that such a man can no longer, at a certain moment in time, be part of that human race that served him as a material form, in order to allow there to be continuity in the model of form, but not continuity in the consciousness of the model. The continuous impoverishment of life on Earth, because of the unconsciousness of mankind, will force the Earth to reject its sons, for they will not have the intelligence to understand the laws of fire, when it falls on the globe to extinguish what only breathes destruction and degradation in consciousness. The Earth is more than a globe of matter. The Earth is an awakening spirit, and this spirit contains everything that exists on the atomic planes of human consciousness. So that the time will come when the Earth will need to be repaired in its consciousness bruised by unconsciousness. And these are the real men it will call upon. And the cry of life will resound in the ethers of the planet. And this cry will stifle what is already near death. And a new human intelligence will generate new life on Earth. And the Earth will be repaired. Once repaired, it will produce what it has never, in the past, given to man, because it will be under the gaze of the real man, who will know all its secrets. That is, the spirit. That is, the planetary consciousness. The real man is so unique that he cannot suffer to be lied to. That is to say that intelligence is totally present in him. Lying slows down the evolution of the Earth. This is why one of the first powers that real man will know will be that of not being subject to lies of any kind. For lies prevent communication. The flow of intelligence between men. And this rupture delays the descent of real life on Earth and the application of this intelligence for the benefit of Earth and man. The unicity of the real man thwarts all forms of previous lives, for the power of his consciousness is the only source of intelligence on the globe. Which does not depend on the lower planes of intelligences that dominated the spirit of the ancient man. So that the real man cannot be lied to. Not that he is alone in his intelligence, but because he is alone with his intelligence. And this state is new for the Earth and the human race of tomorrow. In the past, the blood of the earth was used to feed the worlds of death. Whereas tomorrow, the life of the earth will be the only energy that will be used by the real man. So that the worlds of death can no longer enslave man, and the latter will no longer be committed to returning to them. For the worlds of death feed only on the blood of the earth. And the blood of the earth is any action that is not the product of the energy of life on the planes of the atomic consciousness of man. Why is the earth so rich? Because it is nourished by energy on the planes of its atomic consciousness. Why is it getting poorer? because other planes of consciousness have disorganized his intelligence. And when the intelligence of the earth is blurred, the human race must pay the price, because the earth is the mother of the material form of man. But when the real man is on earth, and has another form more powerful than his material form, he will give back to the earth what it has lost, and the earth will be beautiful. The uniqueness of the real man depends not only on his real intelligence, but on his power over the life of the earth. Why this power on earth? For it was born of the intelligence that gave the earth its life. And when this ultimate intelligence vibrates in man, he is no longer a slave to his carnal form and the laws of matter on earth. He becomes master of everything that makes, or has made, the earth a place in space where it is good to live. If the real man is the son of light, it is also written that he is master of himself, that is, that he himself is capable of calling upon light in order to escape the laws of inferior matter, which only exist to support life systems that are not yet in the light of life. The uniqueness of the real man will cause everything that is not close to intelligence to bend, for its appearance on the globe will create a shock that will dazzle nations. Not because they will be upset by his appearance on earth, but because they will be troubled by his intelligence and power. The peoples of the earth have not known in the modern era the Son of Light, because the time of war had to pass. But when the Sons of Light appear in the world, the darkness will want to stifle their presence. And it will be impossible for them because darkness has no power over life. And only the power of life can escape death. The darkness will be powerless and the Sons of Light, the real men, will call their brothers who look at the earth from afar, and they will come to create a new science on earth, so that men can recover the lost time. But this science will be known and understood by the real man, because the real man will already be in the intelligence of this science. But the coming of this science to earth will allow him to begin where his brothers will already have mastered energy, for real man must learn to master energy. Energy control is part of the movement of intelligent life in the cosmos. And when intelligent life has evolved enough to control energy, this intelligent life can form a civilization equal to its intelligence. But the real man will not be dominated by the science of his brothers, for he too will have the power of intelligence, so that there will be an exchange between the man of the earth and the man of the space. And this exchange will be based on the laws of love that the real man of the earth knows, and which is not known to the man of the space, nor to the unconscious man of the earth. Then the real man of the earth will teach the laws of energy of love to the man of space, and the latter will teach the laws of energy science to the real man of the earth. The laws of the energy of love are greater than the laws of the science of energy, because love is the most beautiful of principles and the first. And the greatness of intelligence must be harmonized with the beauty of love among the races of real men who evolve in the cosmos, so that one day, in the distant future, the universal will be able to reign everywhere in the universe, at all levels of creation, and on all scales of reality. This is why the real man is unique in his human race. Because he holds the keys to the real love that only manifests itself in the ether, while his brothers hold the keys to the intelligence of the science of energy. The uniqueness of the real man stems from the very reality he embodies, that is, from the reality that has not been manifested on the globe yet, with the exception of a few examples. But this real man of tomorrow, although he represents the highest thing to this day, will not be like anything that in the past was great on earth. Because the energy of creation does not repeat itself, it ascends, it perfects itself, and makes what it inhabits more perfect and more powerful. Tomorrow, man will understand that life is so powerful that it can create life models that have no memory. That is, life models that are self-perfecting, by the very fact that they are already coupled to an energy whose intelligence is perfectly harmonized with the organizational principles of the human being. This is a little bit of the real man. The real man is so perfected that all he has to do is manifest his perfection to create a new order on earth. Its uniqueness can only be realized within its own consciousness. Only he knows the nature of his nature, and only he can understand why real life on earth is impossible until death has given way. The unicity of the real man, whose consciousness exceeds the limits of his material body, imposes on the unconscious man his unique vision of reality. Because this reality depends neither on the senses nor on common sense. This reality depends only on the descent into matter, on the primordial energy organized according to the laws of harmony of the invisible universe, from which the evolving cosmos takes shape. The certainty of the real man is the product of the intelligent life active in him, and not of the intelligence he has of the relationship between the true and the false, the truth or the lie. What characterizes the real man most is not what he is, but what he becomes. That is, what he represents infinitely on the scale of evolution. His human nature remains, but it is no longer the home of his spirit, for the latter lives on what he sees in the ether, not on what he perceives through his senses. The senses of real man are only tools that allow him to keep in touch with the material. They lost the blind value of the unconscious man who lived by their impressions, because he had not yet been born to life. That is, to the invisible of himself. Real life is the entry of real man into the invisible. That is, into the manifestation of reality on the atomic plane of its material form. This life is so real that it is normal that it cannot be known, or recognized, or understood, even philosophically, by the unconscious man who uses the form of words to try to grasp the reality of life. This is why the real man can only be real for himself, only in himself, and only in relation to those who are in the same reality. The uniqueness of the real man is due to the fact that he has no memory of his planetary past. So that its presence on the globe instantly intervenes in the evolutionary consciousness of the planet. While peoples cannot absorb a human reality that they cannot incorporate into their psychological and planetary reality. So that real man, by instantly intervening in the consciousness of peoples, can begin to make them evolve. In order to create a more evolved incarnation support for the future of the sixth race. The real man, or the Superman, can only intervene in the course of evolution when he has perfectly integrated his human consciousness with his universal consciousness. Then, it is possible for him to understand all aspects of the evolution of humanity, and to work with the brothers to build a bridge between the Earth and the galaxy, to allow man to travel in space and discover ever more distant borders, but also ever closer as he himself recognizes his link with the invisible. And as from this link, he can realize his own invisibility, as well as that of those who have long watched over man's evolution. The real man must protect the unconscious man from abuses of power against him, which will be perpetrated by beings who have no affinity with man, because they are not concerned about the place of man in the order of things, but simply about their interests. These beings must be revealed, unmasked, and only the real man can do so, for he alone is above the lie and the law of return. Being free of these two aspects that color human existence and impoverish the intelligence of man, they can be of help to the unconscious man, if the latter is sufficiently evolved and sensitive not to reject what is not easy to accept, that is, the cosmic role of evil in the cosmos. Man is far from understanding the role and function of evil in the cosmos, and the role he sees in the simple and human plane of his morality is poor. If he is projected onto the vast picture of infinity and its greatness, the unconscious man is still partially animal. So many warnings are necessary for him to realize the human condition and the power of the lower spheres over the conduct of planetary affairs. Man has the impression that he understands many things, and this impression serves as a measure to remain in ignorance of reality. The real is not supra, as we imagine it. The so-called supra quality of reality simply reflects the imperfection of intelligence in man. If man were real in his intelligence, in his experience, the supra would not exist for him, and he could taste it without feeling burdened by his presence, his omnipresence, on the planes of his atomic consciousness. Real man generates an energy that spreads throughout the world through different channels, but the law of reality is always the same. We cannot project it or understand it philosophically. Even on the level of experience, reality is philosophically irreducible. And that is why its collusion with the material plane will open the doors of peace and prosperity and abundance for centuries to come. Man is only real to the extent that reality falls upon him, penetrates him. Then, It adjusts to shocks and becomes more and more capable of exchanging between the material and the subtle. In order to allow the material to benefit from the conditions that emerge from a great creative capacity found in those who sow the right seed. Then man is unique in his kind. Because he has existed for centuries and has never managed to break out of the impasse, that is, the narrow corridor of his unconsciousness. This was because the time had not come for him. Because his mental center was not sufficiently developed. Now that the mental center of man is sufficiently developed, ready, he can absorb a new energy that will bind him to reality, freeing him, once and for all, from the power of his senses over his intelligence. The intelligence of the real man will not be affected by his senses, that is, it will be linked to his etheric consciousness and not to his material consciousness. And the etheric consciousness of intelligence is a perfect consciousness, because the astral veil is no longer there. The real man does not need the psychological support of the form to give his intelligence its strength. That is why it is creative power. Thus the real man is unique because he does not belong to the memory of humanity. So that he can, without memory, create according to the laws of intelligence in him. His support is himself. His intelligence is himself. His energy is the descent of intelligence into him. He is unique. Because never from the beginning has man been his only master on board. Man has never been able to see what he will see. We showed him what we wanted him to see. Even death has become for him a real fact of life. When in fact it is only an event over which he has no control. Because he is not in the pure intelligence of his vital energy at all levels of his multidimensional reality. As man in the past trafficked without his knowledge, despite himself, with forces that molded him, that made him progress or delayed him, he can never take control of his experience, and by the same token stop living experientially. These times will be over. Because man will know something other than impression. He will know the energy as it is. That is, he will recognize these different functions and facets. So that his real life will be constantly creative. Because he will be able to constantly adjust this energy to his needs. Because he will be beyond the veil of the ego. Which in the past prevented him from understanding the laws of energy to submit to the laws of form. The real man is unique. Because he is no longer a pawn of the astral hierarchy. He is a time traveler of the spirit, the ether. This freedom opens to him the doors of eternity. That is, of this vast domain where the spirit is free as it was created, that is, as it was from the beginning of its advent in the universe of light, before the form took over him, the control, because he did not have enough experience to extricate himself from it. The age of real intelligence will mark the beginning of postmodern times. When real man will drown the forces that will serve to free him from the heavy burden of mechanical work. So that he can use the infinite reservoir of energy, from which the whole universe draws its substance, and he will have the true means to keep himself away from the traps that the forces of astral intelligence draw from his energies, in order to build their own fallen or highly spiritual world according to the stage of their evolution. As much as the unconscious man has unconsciously participated in the maintenance of the astral plane, so much the real man, the Superman, will only intervene on this plane to prevent humanity from going back and declining in its evolution. The fusion between mortal and intelligent forces will be the eternal security of humanity against any return to the age of fallen intelligence. The real man will be the keystone of the new evolution, and those who have realized the presence of creative energy in them can never return to the past. That is, they will never again be prisoners of time or space. Because time must be a continuum of evolution, just as space is a dimension of displacement. The two aspects of universal reality, time and space, perfectly integrated into the higher human consciousness, will allow man to untie what was bound in the past. That is, the dead can be freed from their temporal prison and sent to incarnation on more evolved planets. They will learn the universal laws, and will be able to return to Earth later, if they want to replenish the ranks of a humanity that will have progressed, and that can no longer be delayed in its evolution by beings too inferior in experience and memory, to bring it light, intelligence. The unicity of the real man is not to be confused with the particular character of the unconscious man. Real man does not depend on the material earth. It draws its resources from the energies of nature on the subplanes of matter, and from these energies it builds what it needs to evolve. Its relationship with the material earth is a relationship of life and not a relationship of survival. He loves the material earth and preserves it. For the spirit of the earth is that of the force that sustains all that must serve the material body, until it can be freed from material needs. Thus the uniqueness of the real man, the Superman, the man who is no longer affected by the planetary conditions of the ancient race, is only suitable for those who are in the energy of this intelligence. For those who understand this reality and who, because of their efforts, because of their evolution, because of their incessant progression, must come one day to recognize that they are not of the race that has, in the past, denies reality because of its ignorance, but are rather of a race that comes from elsewhere and that replenishes the currents of life of humanity, in order to allow that on Earth, that on the Earth globe, a government of life settles for the first time powerful enough, perfect enough, so that the progressive evolution of humanity continues, and that after a certain number of centuries, man can pass to the last stage of the Earth's evolution, the Spirit Man internship.